On in our study of the Psalms. Psalm 71. Verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honour all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. For my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God? Who is light unto thee? Thou, which hast shown me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Amen. Well, Psalm 71 is well known as a song for the old age. The psalmist, probably David, must have penned it in his advanced old age. We can see this from verse 9, where he says, cast me not off in the time of old age. And in verse 18, where he says, now also when I'm old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not. But Andrew Bonar calls this psalm the righteous one's confidence of hope to the end. He suggests that though our Lord never reached old age, he experienced the sorrows, pains, and anxieties of old age. The prophet Isaiah spoke of how our Lord's visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He must have looked older and suffered more than one would expect of his 33 years of age. So we read in verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many. We may say that David's experience at old age foreshadowed our Lord's experience as he drew near to the cross and therefore to the grave. Therefore, this psalm that David wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of Christ expresses the feelings and experiences of our Lord in his final days upon the earth. In any case, our Lord can sing this psalm with us, in sympathy with us when we sing it in our old age. And we can sing it in our youth, in sympathy with him, and through him with our elderly members. Well, this psalm has an interesting structure. It has six parts. The first part in verse 1 to 4 is a prayer. And the second part from verse 5 to verse 8 is an expression of confidence. Then in verse 9 to verse 13 is another prayer. And from verse 14 to verse 17, a second expression of confidence. Then from verse 18, a third prayer. And verse 19 to 24, a third expression of confidence in the Lord. Well, let's look at these six parts very briefly. There are many verses in this psalm that we can take time to meditate on, time to preach on. It will take quite a while. But this evening, our intention is just to understand this psalm briefly. So look at the first part. Here's the first prayer. The psalmist begins, verse 1, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me." Now the word rendered confusion is usually rendered a shame or shame in the Old Testament. But the times of old age usually involves experiences of fears, of indignity and confusion. Though most of us will not experience the assaults of the wicked one in the way that our Lord experienced, okay, verse 3, we will in our old age face many enemies of different sort. Not only will we be suffering the ravages and illnesses of old age, we would also face many fears, not the least because of increasing disability. We find that we could no longer do as much as we could in our younger days, but we realize that we begin to be more fragile, we begin to be afraid of venturing to places that we do not know, and afraid of height, as Solomon reminds us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Not only so, but we know that round the corner is the gate of death. But at such times, the wicked one will also play on our fears. It will make us confused and to doubt the Lord. But thank God that we can always resort to him as our strong habitation, our rock and our fortress. Thank God that he's always there for us. And he is never hard of hearing as some of us would be in our old age. He will hear our prayers as he heard the Lord in the days when he experienced fears and was tempted at all points, like as we are. What's the basis of our Lord's confidence, and therefore what basis do we have to be confident in the Lord? Consider then secondly the expression, the first expression of confidence from verse 5 to verse 8. This is an expression, you realize, as of confidence in the Lord on the basis of what the Lord has done. Verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." Well, Andrew Bonar speaks of these verses together with verse 18 as being precious glimpses given us of Messiah's childhood. And so they must be. Our Lord could rest in his Father, for he experienced his loving protection from the day that he was born. He knows that his Father would not forsake him. Even as the shadow of the cross lengthened, and the moment when he would bear the brunt of the wrath of God approach, Our Lord's confidence was not shaken. He was confident that he would still be given every occasion to praise the Lord, to praise the Father. His mouth will be filled with praise and honor for his Father. Verse 8. As he looks back and remember the Lord's mercies, he is confident of the Lord's mercy in the future. And so let us learn to rest, brethren, in the same confidence. When we are old and fearful, let us remember how the Lord has kept us all through the years. And so let us trust him to continue to keep us. Now consider now the second prayer from verse 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. Our Lord did not experience old age physically, but he did not experience the burdens of old age as his enemies plotted against him to get rid of him. God had forsaken him, they say, verse 11. He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God, they cried. What was our Lord's response? Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God. Be not far from me, O my God. Make haste for my help. And so when we are confronted with old age, or the feelings of old age, when we feel ourselves dragged down because of all the problems that we face, then let us learn to turn to the Lord. Do we not sometimes feel that? Just having fellowship with a brother from another church and telling me of all the problems that he faced, and how sometimes you just drag him down so low because of all those interpersonal relationship problems. And when I look at him, I realize he's aged so much over the months that I've not seen him. Sometimes we not feel ourselves bearing in our soul those burdens that we may experience at old age, when everything seems to fall apart, and that those weights seem to weigh upon our hearts so heavily. Oh, what do we do such time? Let us learn to go to the Father in prayer. Let us implore him to be close to us, as our Lord did in verse 11 and 12. Let us plead with him to deal with the enemies of our soul, as in verse 13. And then we shall find comfort in him. Let us hope in him continually. Even as our Lord expressed his second expression of confidence in verse 14 to 17. Verse 14. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Well, this is an expression of confidence by way of a resolution. And what a beautiful resolution, worthy of our imitation. I will hope continually. I will praise you more and more. I will talk about your righteousness and your salvation all the day, because I do not know how much more time I have. The Apostle Paul instructs us to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. This is what our Lord was doing. This is what is expressed in this verse. And this is what we must be doing more and more, even as we realize more and more that our time is short. We must speak of God's grace and mercy towards us as much as we can, because we have just so little time left to talk of his grace and mercy toward us. And we must do so in his strength. Verse 16. What does it mean to go in his strength, or to do it in his strength? It is to depend upon Him to give us the courage and energy to do what we resolve to do. So we resolve to speak about the Lord, to tell someone about Him, to talk about Him in our conversation. And sometimes we feel embarrassed to talk about it, or we find ourselves so weak to talk about it. What shall we do? But go to Him and ask for strength and courage, knowing that the days are short. Time is short. We don't know how much more time we have. Will you not make use of the time to testify for the Lord? Will you not resolve to be a witness for the Lord? Ask Him for strength and He will give it to you. But now let us look at the third prayer, verse 18. Now also, when I'm old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I show thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Again, our Lord did not grow old and grey-headed outwardly, but He was surely growing old and grey-headed in His soul as He faced the persecution and the looming cross. What was His prayer under such a circumstance? It is the same as before, only expressed in a different way. In His first petition, He asked for deliverance. In the second, He asked not to be cast away. In the third, He asked to be given the opportunity to testify of God's power and strength in the remaining time that He has. This is not exactly the same as what He resolved to do in His second petition, or in the previous paragraph. He resolved to testify the Lord's goodness. Now He prays for strength to do that. What a prayer. How many of us will make such a petition? Why should we make such a petition? Let's consider the final expression of thanks, of confidence in the Lord. This is in verse 19 to 24. And you see that this is a expression of confidence based upon what the Lord will do. The first one is what the Lord has done. The second expression, what the Lord is doing. And now, what the Lord will do. Verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Can you see how verses 20 to 21 is about the resurrection and exaltation of the Lord? Everyone united to Christ will also be raised unto glory at the last day. And therefore we can sing these same words with confidence. Whether we are young or old, death is but the porter into glory if we are united to Christ. In glory we shall be able to worship God and join Him in praise forever and ever without being hindered by sin or sinners or human frailties. Our Lord was looking forward to the end of His sufferings and the beginning of His exaltation, and then an eternity of praising the Father. After 3 days in the tomb, He rose from the dead. 40 days later, He ascended up to heaven in the sight of all His disciples. But our Lord is still with us by His Spirit, who is given unto us as an earnest of our eternal inheritance. By His Spirit, the Lord worships with us whenever we sing His word in praise. Our Lord, in other words, has begun to do what He expected to do in verse 22 to the end of the psalm. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God, unto Thee will I sing with the harp. O Thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul, which Thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long. We will all one day rest from our troubles, troubles that beset us today. My beloved brethren, and children, we do not have to wait for that day to rejoice, because our Lord has conquered death. And today we can already begin to rejoice, for the Lord, who is risen from the dead, will also raise us at the last day. And that day shall be a confirmation of all the blessings that he has already procured for us and is bestowing upon us. Death has lost its sting. We need not fear what death, which today may be a most fearsome enemy, will do to us. Therefore, we need not fear old age and the approach of death. Let us rather learn to live joyfully before the Lord, even before we arrive at old age. Let us, beloved brethren, children, therefore learn to go on in our life in the strength of the Lord our God, our Sovereign King. Let us ask the Lord for grace, that we may cease to saunter and to begin to run towards that celestial city. Let us give him the glory by living a joyful Christian life that is characterized by holiness, hope, and assurance of his love, and a testimony of his righteousness, both in our speech and in our lives. May the Lord help us. Amen. What shall we sing this?